This is Darren Heitner, and this is the How to Play the Game podcast. We have been on a little bit of a hiatus. It's been a busy July in 2021, and I have two perfect individuals to talk about why exactly it has been so busy. As many people listening to this podcast probably know, July 1, 2021 was the official start of college athletes for the very first time being able to make money off of their names, images, and likenesses. And that was a byproduct of many states adopting their own legislation, followed by the NCAA on the last day before July 1, June 30th, deciding all of a sudden it was going to extinguish its bylaw that had prevented that type of activity. And today I have Chase Garrett and Drew Butler of Icon Source leading the way in matching brands and athletes together. I know from personal experience, they were extremely busy leading up to July 1, and I am positive that they've had their hands full ever since. Chase, Drew, how are you?
Doing good, brother. Thanks for having us on. It's been a wild month or so, but yeah, excited to kind of sit back and recap.
Absolutely, Darren. Appreciate the invite. Glad to be with y'all today.
So let's start actually before July 1. If you don't know and you're listening, Icon Source through Chase and Drew were responsible for really doing the biggest deal on July 1. And in my estimation, still one of the biggest deals through the first month of NIL. And that is matching Boost Mobile, a national brand, with the Cavender twins, Haley Cavender and Hannah Cavender. Chase, Drew, can you talk a little bit about how that came about and I guess what the struggles were leading up to putting that deal together even before NIL officially kicked off?
Yeah, you know, it was a wild ride. And I think just to back up a little bit, it's important to know we've been doing this in our marketplace with professional athletes for, you know, over 3 years now. So we've got a lot of experience on how to sort of create a great process. Through that, we've already had a tremendous amount of brands using our platform with a lot of pent up excitement to be the first ones to work with college athletes. Through that process, we kind of communicated that college athletes can start building their profiles and prepare themselves to take advantage once this opens up on July 1. So through that time, we've had college kids approach us, ask us questions, build profiles. We've been pretty front and center with holding their hands along the way to anticipate this process. Now, even though they're building profiles, they were not able to be searched, seen, contacted by the brands. But the brands were just kind of hoping which athletes were going to be a part of it. Boost Mobile specifically, you know, they're a big fan of our platform, and they were excited to make a first move in the college sports space and finally compensate the athletes that have been kind of extorted for so long. And they thought it really matched up with their brand ethos. So their CEO, Stephen Stokols, was talking to me like, hey, like, we're kind of chomping at the bit. We want to jump on this right away. Do you have any good ideas? And I'm like, you know, a lot of high profile college athletes are going to be on our platform ready to go 12:01. And so they kind of found the Cavender twins in hopes that they're going to be there. You know, they're asking me, but I didn't want to get involved in sort of make any deals beforehand. I tried to set them up for success, gave them some recommendations. You should, you know, look for these athletes, shoot it out if you can find them. So they were pretty confident that they could put together a package that was going to be really compelling for the twins, that could help get that first deal done and the earned media that would come alongside of that. Meanwhile, the Cavender twins' dad reached out to me. He got my contact info from the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, which I was excited. No, I'm not sure how he has my info, but and he said, all right, I see all this is coming together. You know, what should we do? And I said, you know, your daughter should build profiles. We have a lot of brands that are going to be excited to make moves. But then again, I couldn't tee this up. And I just tried to let them know that be prepared on July 1. It's going to be very exciting. And then once we kind of heard the excitement towards them specifically, I said, hey, girls, why don't we do this in New York, Times Square, and be the first ones to do this on the Eastern time zone. and really just blow this out of the water. Prep media, that we don't have anything in the bag, but we think we got some exciting stuff coming. Would you guys want to talk about it? And then the perfect storm came together, and it was a wild ride on July 1. That's for sure.
Well, and here we are, July 29th, roughly a month later, recording this podcast. And I have to imagine, just even from that project alone, you've probably received an enormous influx of attention and excitement from players and brands alike. What has that been like? I mean, how many athletes have you now signed up to the platform? How many brands? Are you at liberty to mention any of the brand names, et cetera? I think it'd be really interesting to learn a bit about your specific growth for Icon Source in this first month.
Yeah, I think it's exciting because, you know, we work directly with the student athletes. We don't try to go around another avenue to onboard a bunch of names. We want to make sure kids know who we are. So we went from, you know, only working with professional athletes and having zero college athletes to automatically receiving thousands of college athletes signing up. I believe we're over 10,000 college athletes now. The brands have started to flood in. We have thousands of brands. And we went from seeing, you know, which was an exciting business in the professional space, to an incredible level of adoption and just engagement through the platform right away overnight. And we're seeing brands put out opportunities. They're looking for college kids are just literally hitting them, 100 in the first minute. So it's been really exciting. And I think it's taken a little time for brands to understand how they now adopt to being in this, you know, this sea of piranhas that are just so excited to jump on the opportunity.
So for people that don't know, how exactly does this process work? I'm sure a lot of listeners are well aware that some of the more prominent athletes are signing representation agreements with agents, but you're not technically an agent. As I mentioned, you're matching brands and athletes together. What is there any negative for the athlete? Is the athlete paying you out based on the transaction? How are you generating revenue, and what does that look like for the athlete or for the brand?
Drew, I'll let you take this one since I'm dominating the mic.
No worries. Yeah, that's the most exciting, unique aspect about Icon Source for student athletes. It costs nothing to be on our platform. There is no downside of having a profile on Icon Source, which then exposes you to thousands of brands that want to engage with student athletes. And Darren, I think you've seen it just throughout this first 4 weeks, is that a lot of athletes are signing up with marketing representation. And from a human capital standpoint, for any marketing rep, Icon Source is here to help you as well. You know, your student athletes can put on their profiles what agency they're with, who their agent is. Those agents can then manage the Icon Source profiles to, again, get more inbound opportunities for their clients for name, image, and likeness endorsement opportunities. So that has been a huge learning curve because we want agents to know that we're here to help. We are a CRM software platform designed to help agents and athletes get more endorsement deals by providing the conduit, which will allow them to facilitate deals in a much more streamlined and efficient manner. People always ask me, well, y'all are a middleman. You guys are trying to cut out the agents. And I say, no, we're not. We are a conduit because we don't speak on behalf of the athletes. We don't speak on behalf of the agents. We don't speak on behalf of the brands. We are bringing them together so that they can have authentic engagements with one another. And for brands as well, they create their own profiles. It's free to create a profile. We verify all brands and agents and athletes to give them the access to utilize our platform. From a revenue standpoint, once a contract is executed and deliverables are done, we charge a nominal fee on both sides because, like you said, Darren, we are not an agent. We are a platform, so we make it fair to everybody involved. We know that we are creating that value. And based on our professional platform, which has been around for 3 years now, we know in reality that brands love the workflow. They keep coming back for more, and athletes see the benefit as well. So providing that for student athletes now has been really exciting for us. And we can't wait for them all to get on campus for the first time here in just a couple of short weeks, because this is going to be a really hot topic of conversation in these hyper-local markets.
So through the first month, we've started to see athletes branding themselves, coming out with their own logos, doing some trademark filings, which I've been fortunate to be a part of for some athletes, and engaging in some memorabilia deals, some NFT opportunities. But outside of that Boost Mobile deal that you all were responsible for with the Cavender Twins, we admittedly haven't really seen many big brands jump in just yet. And we haven't seen the Nikes, the Adidases, Coca-Cola, Gatorade, some of the brands that I think a lot of people expected and still expect to become involved in NIL and spend a lot of money on athletes. Does that surprise you at all? And at what point do you think some of these brands do dip their toes in the water?
It doesn't surprise me at this point, because those big brands are smart and they're going to be very logical and strategize the right ways on how they want to enter this market. And I think it becomes really, really exciting when student athletes get back on campus. Again, we just kind of have to take a step back and say, we're 28 days into this thing. You know, it is still so new, and that is really exciting, but there is no doubt that those big brands are going to want to make a splash. How? That's what they're deciding. Are they going to do a massive land grab of thousands of athletes to do a big kind of shock and awe campaign, which would allow them to create this huge market share of visibility? Are they going to wait until the college football playoffs and send out gigantic opportunities to the four starting quarterbacks that would create a bunch of marketability? You just don't know. But you also do know that they're going to do it the right way. And the conversations that we've been having is that those big brands, from a legal and compliance standpoint, are looking for the right way, the right platform to send these deals so that student athletes' eligibility is not negatively affected, so that payment processing and contracts protect both the brand and the student athlete, and so that compliance doesn't have a massive headache when these gigantic dollars are getting thrown around. And we're really happy because we're having those conversations now, which is exciting.
But do you think, before Chase, before you answer that, do you think that brands are missing an opportunity to ambush? For instance, taking my alma mater, the University of Florida, which is a Jordan brand school, is Adidas missing a unique opportunity right now, or Puma or any other competing brand, to try to affiliate with some of the athletes there and do deals in order to take away some attention from their competitor?
You know, the companies I've seen make early moves are ones that are very aggressive to try to win. The ones that you're seeing are being a little bit more reserved. They just have too much to lose. So you're going to see those big established brands say, all right, it's not worth the unknowns. But the smaller brands are saying, you know, bring on the unknowns. There's a ton of opportunity to dominate headlines, to get a bunch of athletes, and to be first movers in the space. So I think it's just going to be natural, just the risk appetite for each brand in their respective markets. And so does, you know, Adidas need to make their moves? You know, I think they have a pretty good plan. You know, I'm sure that they've put together for their college program. And I think they're going to find ways to maximize that, whether it's working with athletes at their own schools to really activate around the partnerships that currently exist versus create challenges for their competitors. I'm not sure, but I think the exciting part is going to be how much these athletes will now be able to amplify what current investments are already being made in college, along with allow new participants that have never worked with in sports or athletes to also enter the space.
What do you make of the commentary that someone like Bryce Young, quarterback at Alabama, who really hasn't even stepped foot on the field, has already signed deals roughly $800,000 in value and has over $1 million in offers? And is someone like that a good fit for a platform like IconSource, despite the fact that perhaps he's made this much money or guaranteed this much money in the future?
You know, I think this is an example of how name, image, likeness is going to play a big role in recruiting. You know, I can tell you Bryce is on IconSource. We work with the biggest athletes in the world to local athletes in non-revenue sports that can bring a ton of value. And I think, you know, there's no way to cold call every company in the world that could possibly be interested in the unique traits of each individual. And whether you're a top number one star or you're a local, you know, hero, I think that all athletes are going to be able to find an opportunity. And it's good to see that you know, administrators and coaches are embracing this and are leaning into it. And I think it's exciting to see Saban, you know, talking about, you know, how good their program is going to drive deals to their athletes.
What about someone like Suni Lee, just captured gold in the all around in the Olympics? I mean, she will be stepping foot for the first time on a college campus soon. I believe she's committed to Auburn. If she goes, she will now have this unique opportunity of benefiting off of her NIL. From your perspective, what do you see as her potential based on just capturing gold and now stepping foot at a university and being able to benefit from her NIL?
I think her potential is unlimited, Chase, but you can go ahead. Female student athletes are really taking this bull by the horn, so to speak, right out the gates. Brands know that female student athletes are responsive. They know that they will communicate back with them. And I had talks with a lot of female student athletes prior to July 1st, asking them those types of questions, Darren. Hey, what are some brands that you would want to work with? What is something that would excite you? You know, what would really make you think about pairing up with the brand? And unanimously, a lot of them said, look, if a brand is willing to take a risk on me and willing to work with me to create value, two-way value for them and for myself, they will listen to just about anybody. So Suni Lee, the best part about this is she earned it. She deserves this name, image, and likeness endorsement opportunities. And they are going to be coming left, right, front, and center as soon as she steps foot on campus in Auburn, which is really exciting. Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting for her. And coming from Red Bull and my background, we've been working with young athletes, Olympians for a long time. So people are always saying like, well, 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds can't do deals. I'm like, dude, I've been signing six-figure deals with 15-year-olds that go to the Olympics for a long time, whether they're in action sports and other sports. So I think it's just time to catch up. And she's going to have a great opportunity to really associate her name with Auburn and in that community, which before just wasn't an option. And so I think it's going to really give her an opportunity to build long-term value in that community. And I think that'll pay dividends.
What are some of the more interesting deals that I'd say you'd applaud thus far that have either come across your radar through Icon Source or otherwise? And what are some of the deals throughout the first month of NIL where you looked at them and you were like, what the hell is going on here?
I mean, that question kind of comes up daily, but we're learning, which is really exciting. I think one that, you know, we really embraced was Antoine Owens from Jackson State, an HBCU school, head coach Deion Sanders, and Three Kings Grooming. Three Kings Grooming is a Black-owned business out of Cincinnati, Ohio, and they wanted to target HBCU student athletes and create partnerships, a few month-long partnerships, send them some product, provide them with some cash value as well in exchange to promote Three Kings Grooming and the awesome hair care and grooming products that they make. They were up in New York City with us. The three owners from Three Kings Grooming, just fantastic. Antoine Owens, an awesome guy. You know, they created that opportunity. They did it and facilitated the deal on Icon Source. And when you're sitting there at midnight on July 1st, 12:01 a.m., and these guys who have been working so hard to create their business are seeing in real time the value that creating an NIL deal with an HBCU student athlete and then promoting it on social media, getting an article in sportsillustrated.com written by Ross Dellinger that created a ton of exposure for their business. It's a pretty heavy moment, right? These are entrepreneurs. This is an HBCU student athlete who's never had the opportunity to make money off of his name, image, and likeness before. And you saw in real time just how much value they were all getting out of it. And those guys are awesome businessmen. Antoine Owens was an awesome, fantastic student athlete to meet. We're all rooting for him this upcoming season. But you see just how wide this web is going to spread. And instances like that right out of the gate show you, man, this is going to be really, really exciting throughout the next couple of years.
Yeah. And I think the most challenging things that we've seen is the amount of people coming out of the woodwork trying to advise kids that have very little experience. We're seeing friends of friends, you know, a lot of attorneys. So some of your comrades, Darren, are just everybody is an athlete marketing expert now. And we've seen athletes come together, do deals, and then try to back out of them because last second they get some friend of theirs that's telling them, you know, they're worth millions, but they've never done a deal themselves. So they don't actually know that. And so that's, you know, I think that'll start to even out. That's just natural with the excitement. You know, but I definitely hope that we don't continue to see a ton of people trying to ride the coattails and give bad information to these kids that finally have a great opportunity in front of them.
I was actually going to ask you something that you brought up in your answer, which is, I know we're only a month in and not even a full month, but have we actually seen issues in the contractual negotiations or arrangements where athletes are pulling out and brands are making threats or vice versa? I mean, is there the potential for dispute? Because I have looked at many contracts, and if athletes were to sign some of them without any sort of revisions, man, I would fear for what that looks like down the road. What are you seeing, if anything, on that front?
Well, one of the things that's nice is all of the contracts that go through our platform go straight to the compliance officers at the school, either through our integrations through platforms like Influencer, or through the compliance officer having a direct login to just see what the student athletes are getting. They get a notification. So we think that that adds another level of a bit of protection. We also, our contract templates have been vetted by the best people in the space to make sure that they're in favor of the athlete and that it's very easy and clear to understand what you're being asked for. But I always think the biggest thing is get to know each other. Like I always press athletes, ask the brand some questions, like understand where they're coming from, how they develop the product, what do they stand for? Does it make sense? But yeah, we've seen some people back out. Fortunately for the way our platform structured, it makes it pretty easy for the two individuals in the first 2 weeks to really make sure that they're on the right terms. But I think this is a learning time, and we're having a tremendous amount of brands with absolutely zero experience working with athletes, and thousands of college athletes that have never ever done a deal, or half of them worked. They don't know what a W-9 is. So it's a massive education process. And I think at the beginning, there's going to be a lot of forgiveness, but we hope that it goes in the right direction and people can start to work together in a great way.
Are you aware of compliance at any school rejecting any deals, whether it's through your platform or otherwise?
I don't believe we've had any deals rejected, because we keep a lot of the brands that aren't allowed away from connecting with college athletes. So, you know, we add a few filters to add some layers of protection, but I'm sure it's happened. So
that's great to hear. And my next question, I understand you cannot reveal specifics, but what's the biggest campaign that's gone through Icon Source thus far in terms of, you know, compensation, what the budget that the brand is willing to spend?
We've seen over six figures, so it's exciting. I can't get into specifics on who it is and, you know, which compliance officers it went through, but trust me, there's been way more deal flow than I think anybody could have ever expected since this opened up. It's just exciting to see people leaning into the opportunity.
So I want to switch gears real quick. A big story right now actually revolves around the number one overall recruit in the state of Texas. He is a quarterback who's committed, I think, Quinn Ewers. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Ewers, yeah. So he's committed to Ohio State, and there's this controversy about whether he stays for his senior year of high school or he goes early to Ohio State. And the big question revolves around NIL, because he's aware of his capacity to earn money almost immediately if he goes to Ohio State, whereas Texas is a state that has an NIL law that actually prohibits him from benefiting from his NIL while he's in high school. I know this isn't necessarily your domain because you're largely in the space of connecting brands and athletes, but do you have a position on this?
You know, I think it's unfortunate that there's no uniformity yet. You know, 2 years ago, the NCAA said, hey, we're going to create these guidelines and we'll have them set by January of 2021. You mentioned it when this interview opened, Darren, that didn't happen. They still haven't created any uniformity. They made an interim proposal the day before July 1st, 2021. I understand this has to do with high school athletes, but the lack of uniformity does create these certain situations where some may side on behalf of the state, others may side on behalf of the student athlete. But when that opportunity is there, it's time for that student athlete to make a business decision. I'm sure he's talking with his parents. I'm sure he's talking with marketing representation. I'm sure Ohio State's saying, hey, come on, we can do this thing right now, because what do they want? They want him to get to Columbus, Ohio, and really finalize his recruitment and say, I am going to be an Ohio State Buckeye. The longer that he stays in the state of Texas, people can continue to recruit him. So it makes sense that they would push him and say, hey, let's make this happen. We can get this going. I think the lack of uniformity will continue to create these specific situations. I think it's hard to say it's a bad idea, full stop, because this is business. And, you know, these kids have massive opportunities right in front of them. And he's 17 years old. I think that's important to note. I mean, he's going to have a lot of people who are going to be steering him in certain directions, but money talks, and those become real life decisions very quickly. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
I only have a couple more questions for you guys, and I'll let you go. One of them revolves around group licensing. We started to see University of North Carolina announce that it is trying to put together a group licensing program for its athletes. We saw Panini do a deal with one team, which is backed by the NFL Players Association, MLBPA, I believe Redbird Capital. What are your thoughts on that? Are we going to see more of it? And are you guys involved in any aspect in trying to organize college athletes?
I think group licensing is great. You know, I was in the NFL for 5 years, part of the NFL Players Association. I was a player rep. You know, obviously being a part of the union, you have to pay in to be in the union, but there are a lot of benefits that come from group licensing. And I saw them firsthand at the collegiate level. I think that brings a lot of fairness to some of these players when you hear the narratives of, well, what about the lineman? You know, what about the backup quarterback? Now, we have already seen that a lot of brands do want to engage with those players outside of the 1% for brand endorsement deals, which is really exciting. But group licensing as a whole is a rising tide that lifts all ships. You see the Panini deal with one team. You see groups like the Brander Group reach out to UNC, who I believe have been very, very progressive in a good way of embracing NIL and trying to figure out how we can best provide for our student athletes. As far as Icon Source goes, yeah, we have had conversations on how we can best position student athletes to take advantage of group licensing without any conflict of interest and without any conflict of legislation. Because the last thing that we want to do at Icon Source is jeopardize a student athlete's eligibility. There are a lot of ways that could happen, and they take very small missteps, but we are uniquely positioned to ensure that that would not happen if you utilize Icon Source. That's why these groups are talking to us, trying to figure out the best functionality to make sure that we can provide that for the student athletes, so the student athletes are protected and that the groups that are creating these GLAs are protected as well, so everybody can see the benefit.
All right, last question for you guys. A month in, is this what you expected to occur through the first 4 weeks? And are there any surprises? I'm sure there have been some. So what's the biggest surprise, if anything?
So I would say we had big expectations, but I think it's actually surpassed that, especially just the excitement we've seen around it, the media. So it's been a really exciting month. I'd say we've beaten our projections. But I'd say, you know, the most surprising thing is we've also seen a lot of great brands and great offers to athletes that just say no. and it's kind of bizarre because, you know, talking to a lot of professional athletes or former college athletes, they're like, man, I'd do anything to have that kind of opportunity. And I think it's they're getting just a lot of mixed messages, either from the administration at their school, friends, potential advisors. And I always like to just recommend, as a person that's done a lot of athlete endorsements over the years, is always get to know a little bit more, maybe ask for more money, understand a little bit about what they're trying to do. But typically the answer no really shuts down a potential opportunity you just know very little about very quickly. So we think people are a little bit nervous. And so it's going to start to come around, and that adoption is going to go good. And just so everybody knows, our platform doesn't even allow deals under $100. So none of the deals on our platform are these like $20 mass deals where people just try to take advantage and devalue student athletes. These are deals that just, I think the athletes are still a little scared and they're just not sure what to do yet. So people are, a lot of them are just saying no, which to be honest, is if I give any message, that's not the right answer. The right answer is tell me more about this. I would maybe be interested to do it for more money. See what you can kind of get out of it, but take it as an honor when somebody approaches you with an opportunity to pay you money to speak on behalf of their brand.
Yeah, this is a real opportunity for student athletes to kind of dip their toes into the real world. And like Chase just said, he's done deals with hundreds of athletes for 6-7 figures across all different sport disciplines. Have the conversation, you know, respond. Be professional. Hey, this doesn't make sense to me right now. I'm really swamped. I can't do it. Would love to revisit this conversation in 4 weeks. Hey, I see your offer. Could we do it for a little bit more money? And I would like to only do this amount of social media posts. Hey, I can't do it this weekend, but next weekend I could show up at your business and we could do this in-person appearance. You know, having those conversations to let the brand know, one, you're dignifying their offer with a response. Two, you are interested and you're taking the time to look at it. And three, if you ghost them and do not respond, brands might talk to other brands and then you get less offers. That's not what we want to happen. We want you to have that authentic engagement. We want brands to get to know you as a student athlete. We want you to get to know their brand so you can speak authentically to it to create the value of that endorsement deal. And in the end, we want everybody to see tons of upside. And unanimously, that's what we have been seeing. There has just been this learning curve and we're excited because it's only going to get more comfortable from here. And that's when the machine really starts to churn, which is awesome.
And I think it's important to know that probably over 95% of college athletes will never make a dollar from doing their sport, even starters. And this is your best time. You know, if all that effort, all that workout, you know, all that dedication, lean into it, find a way to maximize it because it's fun, exciting. A lot of people made a ton of sacrifices so that these kids have the opportunity to. So
how can the audience find you, connect with you, follow you, and for athletes, how can they sign up?
Yeah, head on over to iconsource.com. It's really easy to sign up. You can download our app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. We've seen a humongous number of student athletes utilizing the mobile app to sign up, which has been great. We're getting great feedback in that regard. Our Instagram and Twitter handles are at iconsource, and I'm at Drew Butler. So holler at me if you have any questions whatsoever. Chase, you're on there as well at ChaseGarrett23, I believe. So find us wherever, feel free to ask us questions. We got a whole team who are ready, willing, and able to help you out so we can get you the most amount of opportunities.
Awesome. Thanks for having us on, Darren. It's great.
Thank you, Darren.
Absolutely. Thanks guys. It was a pleasure.